First of all, I want you to look at the actual significance of the covenant. Remember now, this is the Davidic covenant that the writer is writing about. God has entered into a contextual agreement only with the nation of Israel. The constitution of other nations may indeed acknowledge God, but no other nation has God as its guarantor and committed ally. This amazing political situation of Israel alone, God covenant with Israel is unique. No other country has it, though it seems like that when America started, we have certainly been blessed by many, many of the blessings of God. And when you look around and you see what is going on in America today, probably would behoove us to start reading the minor prophets, because it certainly seemed like we are in that area today. Here's some principles that are involved here. Verse 1 and 2, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known the faithfulness of all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Mercy, faithfulness. These are underlying principles of the Davidic covenant. I will sing, for I have said. Everything around the singer is dark. I guess you'd call it, he's singing the blues, literally. And his nation lies in ruins. But he laid hold on two principles that fill his heart with song. And I think that if we as Christians, I think we don't really realize the responsibility that we have, that we're to have a song in our heart. We are to have a lift in our foot and a twinkling of our eye, and we have a hope that no one else has, because we know that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. The other day I was getting my hair cut, and the barber said to me, he said, you know, Dr. Shear, he said, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said, our country's so screwed up now, Jesus Christ himself couldn't even straighten this thing out. So he said to me. First of all, the thing fired me up when he said that. Because my Jesus would do everything, amen? And I said, Bill, I said, let me tell you something. I said, these things have to happen. Our countries have to get in disarray. Because it'll get so bad that they'll take anything that'll give them peace and prosperity. And you just look what's going on today. If someone could come in and fix the, what is the G, what do they got, G what? G20? If they can fix the G20 and take care of Greece and all its problems, take care of the Euros and all its problems, I'll tell you what, they'd hire him and they'd put him king of the whole world. Well, what do you think this is getting us ready for? Come on, Christians. The Antichrist. Why does it surprise you that we're having trouble? And I told that to Bill. I said, Bill, I said, let me tell you something. I said, the end has not come yet. And I said, it's got to get worse according to my Bible. And it real got quiet in that barbershop. And I'm going back and get it cleaned up again probably tomorrow, next day. And I told him, I said, you know, I says, you know what? I said, no, I said, don't worry. He can take care of it. That shows that people have belittled Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, all he has to speak and it's gone. But that's not what he said. He's going to keep the word of God. I was reading today in the Bible, today or yesterday, about how the Bible, one jot and one tittle shall not be taken away from this word of God. Amen. And aren't you glad about that? Amen. And so these days are coming, and they're coming like a freight train. And once they start coming, you can't stop them. And he said, oh, but Pastor, we just like to live a different... No. $4 a gallon gas. Probably get worse. And they'll probably take away our opportunity when we give to our church our 10%. They'll probably take that away from you. I'm not tithing because I get a tax break. I tithe because the Bible tells me to. Amen. And you better get ready for it. And I'll tell you what, it'll clean up some churches. Because there's some people in churches today that go there convenience and for political reasons. It'll clean up a lot of churches. And when my friend and I were over in China, and we were meeting with these folks and everything, the underground church, some of the folks from the underground church were saying, we really would rather have it this way than having our church open, because there'll be a lot of people coming to our church that should not be there. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So the principle involved here is that everything is around him is dark and black. Yet he has a song in his heart. He lays hold on God's faithfulness. And you can lay hold on God's faithfulness too. Do you think God can take care of you during the troubles time? Yeah. Hey, what? No. He's faithful. Faithful. He renews his faithfulness every morning. Amen. The word faithfulness points to the psalmist on all Israel's hope are wrapped up in that word. No matter what failure that there were in Israel, God cannot fail. God will not fail, and God had never failed. He is faithful to his word and faithful to his own character. These are the principles involved. Secondly, the person involved. I have made a covenant with my chosen, he says. I've sworn unto David, my servant. The covenant was not made with a wicked Jehoiakim and or the weak Jehoiachin or with the wicked Zedekiah. The covenant was made with righteous David. The psalmist goes back to the original agreement. The Lord could not tear up the covenant with David, no matter how full of faults and failures his successors had been. After all, covenant was a contract. That's kind of interesting. Thank God for that. Amen. Then we look at the promise involved. Verse 4, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne all generations. Selah. Verse 3 and 4 sum up the promise of Davidic covenant and have taken almost word by word from the actual covenant itself. It is as though the psalmist took the copy of the agreement in hand and as though that he waved before God and he said, dear God, remember what you gave us? You know, I don't do this out of disrespect for my Lord, but every once in a while, I'll pull my hanky out of my pocket and say, God, you remember me? You told me to come here. I didn't ask to come here. You told me to come here. And I'm here under your dictates, and I'm here because you wanted me to come. Now, are you going to help me or not? I know that seemed bold, but he did tell me, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need, amen. And brother, when I'm waving the hanky, I've got a need, amen. It is true that when God entered in the covenant along with similar lines with Solomon, a conditional clause was added. But no such conditional clause was added to the original Davidic covenant. There was a provision that if David's heirs sinned, they would be punished, but nothing could annul the wide scope of the original covenant. Indeed, behind the Davidic covenant was an older and equally irrevocable, unconditional divine agreement, the Abrahamic covenant, that was significant to the covenant of David, and that's how this begins the psalm. Secondly, there's absolute security of the covenant. Listen, verses 5 through 18. The psalmist elaborates on it, rehearsing before the Lord some of his own observations about God's promises to David. He looks at this contract in the light of God's power in heaven and the light of God's power in history. One, God's power in heaven. Look at what he says here in verses 89. The psalmist climbed up Jacob's ladder, as it were, for a better view of things than David's throne on earth after all, but an extension of the divine throne in heaven. David was God's regent on earth. He's the one that God went to David. He can go to anybody else. He went to David on this. Heaven's court. Look at here. And the heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. The word of the heavens comes from the verb meaning to beat. The word embodies the idea of the heavens as they are beaten out place, beaten out of metal and fashioned into a plate. If God could so beat out the heavens, so form and fashion the canopy of the skies, then I think he's quite able to beat out the nation's submission unto him. God created this magnificent universe. Look at it. But more up there in glory, the psalmist saw the congregation of the saints and assemblies and the holy ones, and perhaps he saw the 24 elders around the throne, the four living creatures, supernatural beings who, being holy themselves, can best appreciate the holiness of God. He tells something else about the court. For who is in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? There's the question. Who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? I love those who's. The sons of the mighty are the sons of Elohim and Elohim. And they are the angelic beings. And Sama saw the Holy One, the angelic beings of heaven. And he saw these mighty creatures subject to the mighty God who underwrote the covenant of David and the consequence of well-being of Israel. He saw God's court. Wow! Wouldn't you just like a peek? When I was a little boy, I remember going to baseball field and didn't have money to get in. You ever hear the knot holes in the baseball park? How many ever looked in one? Yeah. Man, I looked into that. And I thought, man, that's a beautiful green cow pasture in there. Amen. I was a farm boy. That's all I thought of, cow pasture. You know. And boy, that's something else. Wouldn't it be great tonight just to look into heaven for a moment? I think we can. I really do. I think we can. I think that we can go to God and get on our knees before God and say, Dear God, with the Word of God, the memory of the Word of God in our hearts and lives, to just envision the 24 elders around the throne of God crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and ever will be. Boy, it must be a powerful scene. Amen. Powerful. Read the Revelation. Get a good idea of what it looks like. So then we have the heavenly chorus. He describes the anthem that awakes the echoes of everlasting hills. He hears the thundering of God's praise, and celestial choirs proclaim the sanctity and the strength of the living God. The sound reverbs around the throne. God is to be feared in secret caves of heaven. I noticed the other day, I was reading my Bible, and I noticed the Bible said, make a great noise, make a loud noise unto the Lord, you know. Amen. People want to swoon and sing like that. Bless God. God said, sing it loud. Sing it loud. Play the music loud. That's what the Bible said. Amen. You know, I am amazed. People will go out of here and they'll go the honky tonks and the music you can't even talk over and just loud. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know. That's who I'm preaching at tonight. Amen. And boy, got you finally. Amen. And especially brother Ortiz had both feet up and both hands. Amen. But anyway, the loudness of that music, crazy, just unbelievable. And you come to church and everybody wants to be quiet. Hey, I'll tell you something. You ought to be rejoicing and praising God for all that God has given to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the host of heaven sings, and it's time to quit. By the way, tomorrow is the longest day of the year. I read the paper today, and they said it today. It's not today. Tomorrow, the solace? Amen. So I got lots of time. It's still light out, but amen. I hope you take Psalm 89. I know it's a great psalm. It's 52 verses. I understand that. But I think it would be a blessing and help to you, an encouragement to you, to see what God has really done. Let's stand and be dismissed.